Our reading this morning, dear friends, comes from the first epistle of Peter, and we read from verse 13 following. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. Well, dear friends, for a short while before the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. Remember, last week we looked at the opening narrative of that chapter, where Peter gives to the people of God that living hope they had in Christ and the confidence and the assurance that living as strangers in a barren land, God was with them, leading them and guiding them through the community of his people and through the proclamation of his word and through the company of the saints of God. Indeed, these were strangers in a barren land. They were a community of believing people in Christ in a pagan and pluralistic society. We know that shortly great persecution would follow. But here we have the affirmation that Peter calls his people, calls those who believe in Jesus, to live lives that give glory to God and to share their faith with others. He speaks quite categorically in many ways. He speaks of the affirmation of the word of God. He speaks about preparing your minds to have a different mind to the mind of the world. He speaks about the wholeness of living a Christian life. He speaks of living a holy life because God is holy. Therefore, you, the children of God, should be holy. There's no doubt about that. And then he speaks finally about the love of God, the sincere call of Christians to love each other and to be faithful to the word and to know that in the society in which they're living, which one day would pass away, they were part of a community of faith grounded in the word of God, whose God's eternal presence would assure not only their lives for now, but for eternity. The call to prepare their minds, what does that say to us today? When we are called to make decisions, we say we're making up our minds, don't we? We make up our minds. We do that daily in the way we live. We have to make decisions about our daily living. We have to make decisions politically in which party possibly we're going to vote in elections that arise. We make decisions regarding the way in which we live, in our own daily living, as I said, and the ways in which we are part of a community. Every day we have to make decisions. But what is he saying here when he says, prepare your minds? Prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. And he said, be sober-minded. We have a view of sobriety being something that has to be of avoiding alcoholic drinks, of not becoming drunk. Be sober. Have a mind that is concentrated on those things that are important, that you might not be diminished in the decisions you make. And when we think of our young people, especially in the age in which we're living, with all they're seeing on the social media, all that they come affronted day by day from the media out there, from what they are receiving, minds have been influenced. And minds in many ways have not been influenced for good. And that's why Peter's message is as relevant to us today, I believe, as it was in the times that he was speaking to these Christians, perhaps even more so. Because while they were living in a pagan society, with all the temptations of that around them, we can see that today that is being exasperated even more because of the society and the nature of the society in which we live. That's why it's so important, especially with our work among children and young people, that we teach them the ways of Christ, that we instruct them in the ways of God. Aren't you and I grateful we went to Sunday school? Perhaps we didn't want to go on a Sunday afternoon, but we were taken. We heard the stories. They're still in our minds. I often hear it said that if people attended Sunday school these days, the prisons might not be so full. I don't know about that philosophy, but certainly there's something in it. At least we learn the difference between right and wrong. But what Paul Peter is saying here precisely is, have the mind of Christ. Follow his example. And his example was one of compassion, kindness and goodness. His example was one of confronting empty religiosity. He was the one who imparted to his disciples a change of mind and heart because they were followers of his. To whom shall we go? Simon Peter said on one occasion. To whom shall we go now? We've got no one else to go to. With you are the words of eternal life. They came to realize that their minds had been changed. Their whole attitudes had been changed. They were living in a world around them, but previously as fishermen, they were just ordinary people who were influenced by the society around them. Now they had met with Jesus, and that made all the difference in the world. And when we meet with Jesus, when we trust and believe in him, then we need to learn from him. We need to allow him to speak to our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we might grow to the fullness, Paul says, of the fullness of Christ himself. So, dear friends, let's have this mind within us. Let's seek the will of Christ. And let's follow his ways. May the church is an important factor in this, that we come under the word of God, to hear the word of God proclaimed, that we might grow in faith and knowledge of him, that we might have that ability then, when we are confronted with the world out there, to know the will and the mind of Christ in all things. There's such political intrigue going on at the moment, both here and in America. There are so many claims and counterclaims going on. And one commentator from America said yesterday, I was listening to a program, one of the political programs, and he said, why, of different parties, do we hate each other so much now? I thought to myself, why? Why is the word hate even coming within the vocabulary in the political world? We can have our differences. But we tolerate each other. We come to an understanding. We discuss things together. It grieves me that so much in the world has to do with aggression and getting one step better than someone else, taking revenge, seeking to do things that are totally contrary to what the Word of God says. Dear friends, we need the mind of Christ. And the only way we come to have the mind of Christ within us is when we come to him. It's interesting that he is called in the book of Hebrews the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who can change our minds and hearts for good. And then he speaks about being holy people. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But Peter is acknowledging here that these people did live in ignorance, that they did have evil desires, and probably they succumbed to them. It was the culture. It was the day in which they are living. Again today, look. Anything goes. Immorality is strife. It doesn't matter anymore about norms of previous generation. It doesn't matter. If it feels good, just do it. That's the sort of atmosphere of the age in which we live in. And we see in the ways which led to so much pain and suffering in our community and in our world. What are you saying? Live lives that are holy. Because Christ himself is holy. Now, let me tell you three things about holiness this morning. It's not perfection. It's not legalism. And it's not isolation from the world. Holiness is not perfection. We will never be perfect this side of glory. Because we are imperfect. We have been made perfect. And we will be made perfected one day through the merits of Christ. We are those who are pilgrims in a barren land. But what we are called upon is to live lives that do reflect our faith in being separated from the world in the sense that we live lives that are different. We live lives that should give glory to God. And that means we adhere to the word of God in terms of everything that we believe and everything we do in the world. in our relationships with another, in our family relationships with another, in our community relationships with one another. The sexual explosion in the world out there, which we see, and which I mentioned earlier, is something that we see day by day. We are not to conform to the world. We are to live according to the word of God. We will never, never attain that perfection, this side of glory, but we are being perfected in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are strengthened in the Holy Spirit to do that, and enabling the power of God to do it. It is not legalism. Legalism can sometimes creep into the church. An emphasis upon the legality of the word of God. And the word of God is legal, of course it is. But the Apostle Paul speaks of the law. But he also speaks of the grace of God. Through the grace of God, the law became something living and real to him now. It wasn't any more confined to the fact that he was a Pharisee and a teacher of the law, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, someone who emphasized the legality, who was affronted at those who claimed that the Messiah had come in Christ. We know the story of Paul. But by grace you are saved through faith. And that's true. And when we come to Christ, when we come to know him, when we trust and believe in him, then we are able to know the fullness of what Peter is saying here. We don't make ourselves into ivory towers of doctrine. Doctrine sometimes can be hard. Doctrine sometimes can be judgmental. But when we come to Christ, when we believe in him, he's the author and perfecter. We look at him, the way he confounded the Pharisees and scribes, the way he challenged them, the way in which a woman committed an adulterous, caught in an act of adultery was placed before him to be condemned under the law. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That opportunity, grace was imputed into the legality of the day in which the Pharisees and scribes delighted as those who delighted and believed that the law would be their ultimate salvation. Dear friends, let's be those who show the grace of God, who hold on to the word of God, who believe the word of God, who live holy lives, but never be judgmental of others. Let's be tolerant and understanding, even those who perhaps we theologically differ from, because we are together in Christ, we're on the same journey, we're learning from each other. Legalism has sometimes caused such division in the church. But by the grace of God, we are saved through faith. The legalities are there. Yes, of course they are. But they're imputed by the grace of God, and that doesn't isolate us from the world. We are saved to serve, to be in the communities of which we are a part, showing the love and the grace of Christ at every opportunity. Because we have been saved by the grace of God. So live holy lives, dear friends. It's a joyous life. It isn't confining. It isn't restricting. It gives you and I something the world cannot begin to understand and know. But those who come to Christ understand and realize that he is the one who fulfills all the word has declared. He is the one who by his life and death and resurrection have enabled us to enter into this state of grace with God. For once we were far away, we have been made holy. We are sanctified in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why, as the people of God, we live those lives. Be holy, because I am holy. It's not optional, dear friends. Do you know why? Because we're in the family of God now. We're in the family of God. And we live according to his ways and to his word. Peter says, love one another deeply from the heart. I think that's a fantastic statement from Peter. Love one another deeply from the heart. He didn't say just, well, love one another. He says, love one another deeply from the heart. What is the heart? The heart, of course, is the very essence, the very heart of what we believe to be the place where everything, like a new life, comes from. And that's what he's saying here. And he's saying that within this community, those who are seeking to live good and holy lives, those who believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, purify yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The imperishable word of God. The enduring word of God. Here it is. You have been redeemed by the love of God, therefore love each other. This is of God. This world will pass away. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. We can't doubt the authenticity of that, the truth of that. What we have this morning is of eternal worth. What we have this morning brings the world to shame. But what we have is of God, it's eternal love. And that's why we love one another. And that's why we deeply love one another. And we share with one another and grow together. And the community of faith is the community of God's people, where the doors are open to all who would come into this community of faith to which Peter is addressing this epistle. So, dear friends, as we come to this table today, let's come as those who believe, those who trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving love for us. Let's come with our minds astute, as our minds discern the community around us and seek to follow him and find in him the best way of all. Let's live holy lives. We will fail. We will be like the prodigal, but there's a Father's arms of love waiting to receive us. And let's be sure that what we have here is of eternal worth. The perishable becomes the imperishable, the temporary becomes eternal, the fading becomes enduring. In a world that is confused and anxious and divided, here is the truth, the joy, the love, the certainty of that which one day will be when we will be with him forever. Until that day, on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Do you know why? Because all other ground is sinking sand.